Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we had commenced with the chapter that those things that invalidate the salah of a person, that will break the salah of a person. So continuing with that, as it writes, namaz mein chink aayi, is par alhamdulillah kaha, to namaz nahi gayi, lekin na kehna chahiye. That in salah, a person sneezed. So on sneezing, he said alhamdulillah. Sometimes it's a natural reaction. A person, he sneezes, alhamdulillah. So he says the namaz of a person is not invalid. But a person shouldn't do this. When you sneeze in salah, then on that sneeze, a person shouldn't say alhamdulillah. Because you are in salah. Because here it is not invalid, because alhamdulillah is the praise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore salah will not be invalid. Or, agar kisi aur ko chink aayi, aur isne namaz hi mein, isko yarhamukallah kaha, so namaz jati rahi. But now he says somebody else sneezed. And when that person sneezed, then you replied in your salah, whilst you in salah, you replied to his sneeze by saying, yarhamukallah. So now your namaz is invalid. Why? Because that is now responding to somebody else. In the first case, you said alhamdulillah in your own salah, referring to your own self. So there it was the praise of Allah. But now you are giving jawab, you are responding to somebody else. So once you respond to somebody else in salah, your salah becomes invalid. Quran Sharif mein dekh dekh kar parne se namaz toot jati hai. That for a person to look in the Quran Sharif when namaz is taking place, now or you reading your own namaz, but now you're holding the Quran Sharif and you're reading while seeing namaz, namaz is invalid. This is in the Hanafi mazhab. Many people say we go to Makkah Sharif, we see people, they open the Quran when Tarawih is carrying on. So that may be in some other mazhab, but in the Hanafi mazhab, a person cannot look into the Quran Sharif and perform salah. His salah becomes invalid. Namaz mein itni mur gayi ke seena qibla ke taraf ki taraf mur gaya. To namaz toot gayi. A person in salah, he turned. But he turned to such an extent that the bosom, the chest moved away from qibla. So when the chest moved away from qibla, then the namaz of a person will become invalid. Kisi ke salam ka jawab diya aur wa alaikum assalam kaha, to namaz jati rahi. Kisi ke salam ka jawab diya. A person, he responded to the salam of somebody else. Meaning, you were reading namaz. And whilst you were reading namaz, somebody entered the house. So when they entered the house, loudly they said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So in your namaz now, a person said, wa alaikum assalam. So you responded now to somebody else. So your salah becomes invalid. So these are things that will break the salah of a person. Namaz ke andar jora banda, to namaz jati rahi. Person plaited the hair. So here also, the moment a person plaited the hair, namaz will become invalid. Why? Because this is referred to as amal kathir, where a person indulges in a lot of actions. So some ulama have mentioned, what is amal kathir? Amal kathir is where a person uses both hands. He uses both hands to do something in salah. So the moment a person uses both the hands, salah will become invalid. This is one definition of amal kathir. Another definition of amal kathir is that you in salah, but you are busy fiddling, you're doing some action, and somebody from the back, he sees you, and when he looks at you, you're so busy with that action of yours, he says, this person is not in namaz. So immediately your namaz is invalid. So to get involved in so much of action, that a person from the back or an onlooker, he regards you not to be in salah, will invalidate your salah. And the third definition, which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi says, he says, مُفَوَّضٌ إِلَىٰ رَأْيِ الْمُبْتَلَىٰ بِهِ, that it is handed over to the person involved in that action. You ask yourself that question, that what I'm doing over here, is this considered to be amal kathir, a lot of actions, a lot of fiddling, or not? If your mind tells you that this is considered as amal kathir, then your namaz becomes invalid. And if your mind tells you that, no, this is not amal kathir. For example, a person, he took out the hanky, and he just wiped his nose, and he put it back. So that won't be considered as amal kathir. But now if a person takes it out, he's opening it, now he wants to wipe, finish, that's amal kathir. Namaz of a person will become invalid. Namaz mein koi cheez khali, ya kuch piliya, to namaz jati rahi. In namaz, a person, he ate something, or he drank something. Namaz will become invalid. Yahan tak ke agar ek til ya dara uta kar kha lewe, to such an extent, if a person picks up a sesame seed, what they put on the buns, those small little seeds, so small is the sesame seed, Or the betel nut. He says he picked that up. And a person ate that. Tobi namasud jawege. Then also the salah of a person is invalid. Albatta, agar dara wagaira koi cheez danton mein atki hui thi, isko nigal gayi, to agar chana se kam ho, tab to namaz ho gayi. But now he says, this is when a person took something from outside and then put it into the mouth. So irrespective of how small it is, that the sesame seed is so small that seed, he says then also namaz is invalid. But if there's something that is stuck in between the teeth, and now in salah, a person sometimes he gets it out of the, it comes out of the teeth, and now he swallows it. So he says, what's the ruling? So there we will have to look at the size of that size of which he has swallowed. What is the size of it? If it is less than a lentil, chana less than a lentil, then the salah of a person is valid. Agar chana ke barabar ya ziyada ho, to namaz toot gayi. But if it is bigger than a lentil, lentil is very small. If it is bigger than the lentil or equal to the size of the lentil, that which he has swallowed from inside the mouth, then the namaz of a person is invalid. Muh mein paan daba hua hai. Person that eats the paan. This is normally for people that are from India, Pakistan, that they like to eat paan. So he says the person that has this paan in his mouth, aur iski peek halk mein jati hai. So the paan is in the mouth, but the juice of that paan, that is going down the throat. So he is drinking something. Namaz nahi hui. So the namaz of a person is invalid. Koi meethi cheez khai. A person, he ate something sweet. Phir kulli karke namaz padne lagi. Then a person gargled the mouth and then started performing salah. Like many times people, they eat chewing gum. Now they came into the masjid, so they spat it out and they came into the masjid. But that sweetness of the chewing gum is all in the mouth still. So a person gargled the mouth and commenced salah. Lekin muh mein iska maza kuch baki hai. But the taste of it is still in the mouth. So that has, the actual item, that chewing gum is out. A person gargled the mouth also, but the taste is there. Aur thook ke saath halk mein jata hai. Now that taste that is there, together with the saliva, it's entering the throat. So namaz sahi hai. Then to the salah of a person is valid. There's no problem now. Because that actual item is not there. It's just that the taste that remained behind. Namaz mein kuch khushkhabri suni aur is par alhamdulillah keh diya. A person in namaz, he heard some glad tidings. On hearing the glad tidings, the person said alhamdulillah. He heard that somebody was performing salah, somebody came into the house, they spoke about something good that happened. So this person in namaz responded, he said alhamdulillah. Ya kisi ki maut ki khabar suni is par inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un para. Oh, he was reading salah, somebody entered the house, he said so and so passed away. So he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In namaz. It happens. Sometimes a person, he says these things. So namaz jati rahi, then also salah becomes invalid. Although, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un is the ayat of Quran. It comes in Quran. But here when you said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you said it in response to that news that came in. That is why salah became invalid. Koi larka wa ghaira gir para. Iske girte waq bismillah keh diya, so namaz jati rahi. A child, maybe he was running, and the child fell. So in your namaz, a person, he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In response to the child falling, namaz is invalid. Namaz mein bachcha ne aakar doodh pee liya, to namaz jati rahi. Child came to the mother, and while the mother was performing salah, child got onto the mother and suckled the, from the mother. So if the child drank milk from the mother's breast, while the mother was in salah, her namaz became invalid. Albatta, agar doodh nahi nikla, so namaz nahi gayi. But if the milk didn't come out, the child suckled, but didn't get any milk out, then the namaz is valid. But if the child drank milk, if the milk now emerged, then the salah will become invalid. Allahu Akbar kehte waqt, Allah ke alif ko barha diya. Very important masla. A person when saying Allahu Akbar, he put a mad on the alif. So instead of saying Allahu Akbar, he said Allah. Allahu Akbar. Person pulled it a little more. And in this way he started his salah. Ya Allahu Akbar kaha. Ya Allahu Akbar kaha. Or he put a mud on both the alif. Allah and Akbar. So here, what is he doing? When he said Allah, when he put that extra, that mud there, so he's putting two hamzas. So here he is questioning, is Allah Ta'ala the greatest? Is Allah Ta'ala the greatest? See, just by adding one extra alif, you change the whole meaning. So because of this, the namaz of a person becomes invalid. Isi tarah, اگر اکبر کی بے کو اکبر کے بے کو بڑھا کر پڑھا, دا با دیٹ از ان اکبر اکبر با, سو دے از اٹ اکبار اللہ اکبار, سو ہی پل دیٹ با لٹل مور اینڈ ہی ریڈ اٹ, تو بھی نماز جاتی رہی, دین آلسو دا صلاح آف اے پرسن بیکمز انویلڈ. کسی خط یا کسی کتاب پر نظر پڑی, دیر واز سم لیٹر اور دیر واز اے کتاب, اینڈ یور گیز جسٹ فیل آن دیٹ کتاب, لائک مینی اے ٹائم دیٹس وائی اے پرسن شوڈنٹ کم وتھ ٹی شرٹ دیٹ آر پرنٹڈ ان دا بیک, دیٹس وائی ان دا فرنٹ آف دا مسجد ویئر یو ریڈ نماز یو سی دیئر از نتھنگ ریٹن, فقہا سے دیٹ نتھنگ شوڈ بی ریٹن ہیئر, واٹ از ریٹن دا فریم از پٹ رائٹ آن دا ٹاپ, دیئر از نتھنگ ان دا فرنٹ, سو اے پرسن شوڈنٹ ہیو رائٹنگ ان دا بیک آف ہز کلوتھنگ وین ہی کمز انٹو دا مسجد. ناؤ دیٹ پرسن دیٹ از بیہائنڈ یو ہی از سپوزڈ ٹو بی ہیونگ کنسنٹریشن ان ہز صلاہ, but now his attention is diverted because of you, that is why the masla comes about the person that that crosses a musalli, that what a great guna is coming ahead, what a great guna it is to cross that musalli, that now you are going to divert his attention, he was in conversation with Allah tabaraka wa taala, now you came in front of that person, so he said now on some letter or some kitab your gaze fell, aur isko apni zuban se nahi padha, a person he didn't read the words. For example, it was written over there, like stop, on the back of a shirt. So, a person, he didn't read that word, say stop, he doesn't say it verbally. Lekin dil hi dil mein matlab samajh gayi. But a person in the mind, he just thought, oh, the meaning of stop, what it is. So, it was just in the mind. So, namaz nahi tuti. If it was just in the mind, then the salah of a person will not be invalid. Agar zuban se par lewe, to namaz jati rahi. But if a person verbally he has to say it, then the namaz of a person becomes invalid. So in namaz, a person, he read something, and verbally he uttered those words. So the namaz of a person becomes invalid. There's a masla here. Namazi ke saamne se agar koi chala jawe, ya kutta, billi, bakri, waghaira, koi janwar nikal jawe, to namaz nahi tuti. Person was performing salah, and ahead of him, some dog passed, or a cat passed, or a goat passed. So the namaz of a person didn't break. The namaz of a person is valid. لیکن سامنے سے جانے والا آدمی کو بڑا گناہ ہوگا, بٹ دا پرسن دیٹ از پاسنگ ان فرنٹ ہی ول بی ویری ویری سنفل ٹو سچ این ایکسٹینڈ دیٹ مینشن دا حدیث آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لو علم المار بین یدی المصلی ماذا علیہ من الوزر لو وقف 40 او کما قال علیہ السلام, دیٹ دا مین دیٹ از پاسنگ ان فرنٹ اف ہی اونلی نوز دا گناہ اینڈ دا سن آف پاسنگ ان فرنٹ آف اے مین دیٹ از پرفارمنگ صلاح ہی ول اسٹاپ دیئر فار 40. He will stop there for 40. What is meant by 40? So here commentators have given a lot of explanation. What is 40? It could mean 40 minutes. It can mean 40 days. It can mean 40 weeks. Imam Tahawi rahmatullahi alayhi says, if you knew the guna of passing in front of a musalli, then you'll stop there for 40 years. For 40 years you won't move, you won't cross that person. Because it's such a great guna. And if a person is in a masjid, for example, somebody is reading namaz right in the back. That's why a person should also be a little intelligent. That you are reading, there are people that want to pass, they want to go out. You know you're going to read your long nafil namaz. Don't read in the way. Go on one side, read it in the side where you're not going to obstruct anyone. Some people will stand right by the door and they'll read the nafil namaz there. Now people want to exit, they want to come out. How are they going to come out of the masjid? So now you are forcing them to do something that is wrong because they're going to cross you. So fuqaha say that a masjid, there are two types of masjid. One is referred to as masjid al-saghir, one is referred to as masjid al-kabir. One is a small masjid, masjid al-saghir. And masjid al-kabir is a big masjid. Masjid al-kabir is a masjid that is 334 square meters or more, like this masjid. This is masjid al-kabir, big masjid. So if a person is in the back somewhere, and you in the front, now you need to cross. You need to cross. And there's no other way except crossing in front of him. So if this person is three musallas away from the feet, where a person is standing, from your feet you count 1, 2, 3 musallas. Or from the head you count 2, comes to the same place, exactly the same place, 2 from the head, 3 from the feet. So if it is 3 from the feet or 2 from the head, you can cross it. If it is a big masjid like this, Masjid al-Kabir, 334 square meters or more. And if it's Masjid al-Saghir, which is smaller than 334, like if you look at the masjids that are on the top, Masjid al-Ansar, Masjid al-Taqwa, they're small. Those are Masjid al-Saghir. They're not 334 square meters. This masjid and the Jami Masjid, this is more than 334. So here, when there's a necessity, you can cross. But in the small masjid, even 3 musallas from the feet or 2 from the head, you can't cross. You have to wait for the musalli to complete his namaz. When his namaz is completed, then only can you cross the musalli. So he says, if you only knew the guna, you wouldn't pass. Isliye aisi jagah namaz padhna chahe, jahan aage se koi na nikle. Therefore you should read your namaz in such a place, where nobody is on a cross in front of you. Go in one side and read the namaz if you're going to read long nafil namaz. Aur pilne chalne mein logon ko takleef na ho. And where you don't cause inconvenience to people that want to pass, that want to cross by, you don't cause inconvenience. Aur agar aisi alag jagah koi na ho, to apne samne koi lakri ghar lewe. And if there is no such place, for example, a person is at a garage, he's traveling, and he stopped at the garage, now he wants to read his namaz. So now he went to read namaz on the grass. So here, when he's reading namaz on the grass, there's no place where he can go one side. He's in the field. So here, what should he do? So fuqaha say that take a stick and plant the stick into the ground. But that stick also, it shouldn't be directly in front of a person. Because a person that is passing by, he mustn't think that you're worshipping the stick. Look at Shariat, how far they have thought. That they mustn't think you're worshipping the stick. So a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. In front of the right eye or left eye, whichever way, you will then plant the stick into the ground. Jo kam se kam, ek haat lambi, which is one hand span long, which is approximately 45, it must be about 45 centimeters long, the stick. Ek ungal moti, and it must be as thick as the finger, 45.7 centimeters long, thickness of a finger. Aur is lakri ke paas ko khari ho, aur isko bilkul naak ke samne na rakhe, balki daayi ya baayi aank ke samne rakhe, which I explained to you all. Now stand in front of the stick and perform salah, and don't place this directly in front of your nose, but towards the right eye or towards the left eye. Agar koi lakri na gaare, to itni hi unchi koi aur cheez samne rakh lewe. And if a person, he doesn't find a stick, now there's no stick. So put anything that is about this 45 centimeters high, put this in front of you. Like here what we'll do, we'll put a chair. Somebody will put a chair and read namaz. Or the bench they use, like this bench. Right? So this is about 45 centimeters plus minus, about the same height. So a person puts this bench in front, and then he reads namaz. Now if somebody wants to pass in front of it, no problem. A person, he can pass. Jaise monda, so ab samne se jana durust hai, kuch guna na hoga. Like for example, in the previous time, as the Tamil is talking of his time, when he wrote this kitab, he used to get a bamboo chair. So he said that bamboo chair, just put it in front. So now a person, he can pass, there won't be any guna. The last masla, kisi zururat ki wajah se agar qibla ki taraf ek aad qadam aage bar gayi. Because of necessity, a person, he went forward. Half a foot, he took half a step forward and he went front. Ya piche hat aayi, or a person, he came back. So either a person, he went a little bit front, or a person, he came a little bit back. Lekin seena qibla ki taraf nahi phira. But a person didn't turn the chest away from the qibla. So a person, he went a little bit back. Or a person came little bit, a person came little bit back or went a little bit front. But the chest didn't move from qibla. To namaz durus ho gayi. So the salah of a person is valid. Lekin agar sajda ki jagah se aage bar jawegi, to namaz na hogi. But if a person, he went in front of the place of sajda, where he makes sajda, where the head touches in sajda, he went ahead of that, then the salah of a person is invalid. But sometimes it happens, for example, somebody is reading namaz. Somebody is reading namaz in front of us. And that person, his wudu breaks. Now he can't stand in the saf. So that person, he has to cover his nose, like as though his nose is bleeding. And then in between the musallis, he will have to try and go out. There also, he shouldn't cross people. And then he gets out, goes and he can make his fresh wudu, and then come back and complete his namaz. So there, now that gap is left empty. That gap is left empty. So do we leave it empty? If we're standing behind, we mustn't leave it empty. So a person, he takes one step. He takes one step. For example, you come half the musalla, then one step, and then you stop there. Then from there, you take the second step. And then you come into that area, by the second step, you're already on the front musalla. So you come into that musalla, and you fill that gap. So in this way, that gap that was left empty, it shouldn't be left for shaitan, but that should also be filled up. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Things or acts which make ghusl obligatory. What is it that makes ghusl obligatory on a person? Discharge of semen out of excitement while one is awake or asleep. That if semen is discharged, whether a person is awake or a person is asleep, the moment semen comes out, ghusl becomes obligatory upon a person. Irrespective of whether it is discharged by touching a person of the opposite sex, or by having any such thoughts or fantasies, or by any other way. So it doesn't matter the reason of the semen emerging, whether a person, he had relation with his wife, or it emerged because a person, Allah save us, that a person was looking at a haram book or picture, and because of this now semen had emerged. So whatever the reason may be behind it, when that semen emerges, then ghusl becomes obligatory upon a person. If one awakens and sees semen on his clothing or body, ghusl will be wajib, irrespective of whether one sees a dream or not. So when you wake up in the morning, now he sees that there's semen on my clothing. But he says, I didn't see a dream last night. So that doesn't matter. Whether you saw a dream or you didn't see a dream. Now that there's semen on the clothing, now a person has to take ghusl. And if it's the other way around, where there's no semen, but a person say, in my dream I saw everything. Everything happened also in the dream. But there's no semen. So there's no ghusl. And the other way is, where there is semen, but you don't remember anything, then ghusl becomes obligatory on a person. Entry of the glands of the penis into the vagina, even if there is no discharge, meaning when the husband and wife, they just have relation. But in that relation that they have, there was no satisfaction. The husband didn't satisfy himself. So there was no discharge. So then too, ghusl will become obligatory immediately. Number three, at the end of menstruation, a woman that is having haze, she's in a menstrual cycle. So at the end of the menstrual cycle, she also will have to take a ghusl. Her days may be 7 days, 10 days, whatever. The moment her menstrual cycle comes to an end, she must take ghusl. Number four, at the end of nifas, when a lady, she gives birth to a child, then after childbirth, there's a bleeding, which is a maximum of 40 days in the Hanafi mazhab. The maximum is 40 days. So when this nifas period comes to an end, it can come to an end after 10 days, it can come after 40 days, it can come after 30 days, it all depends. So when it comes to an end, then also a woman has to take ghusl. Note, at the time of excitement, in the beginning, a particular fluid which increases the excitement comes out. See, this is a very important matter. We need to determine what is semen and what is what we call as pre-coital fluid, what is referred to as madhi. So he says that when a person, he becomes excited, now there's desire, person is aroused. So at that time, when a person is just aroused a little bit, for example, he just looked at a woman, and Allah Ta'ala save us, and a person was aroused. I'm just giving an example to understand. He was aroused. So when a man was aroused, or he looked at a book, and he was aroused, now there is a fluid that emerges. This fluid that emerges, this increases your excitement. It increases. Now a person gets even more excited. So this fluid is called madhi, pre-coital fluid. When climax is reached and one is satisfied or satiated, the liquid which comes out at that time is called mani. But when a person, he now for example has relation with his wife, or the ejaculation that takes place, and the fluid that comes out at that time, now there's no more excitement. Person has been satisfied. So the excitement came to an end. So that semen, that is what you call semen. That is mani. That is called semen. And the one that increases the excitement, there's no satiation as yet, that is what we call madhi, pre-coital fluid. So there's a difference between the two. That which distinguishes the two is that when semen comes out, one becomes satisfied and his passion is cooled. While the coming out of madhi does not decrease excitement, but increases the excitement. Furthermore, madhi is thin, while semen is thick. So when a person is excited, that which comes out, you'll find is very, very thin. And when a person, he has relations, or the semen that comes out, this is a thick fluid. So that is how you also make it out, what it is, which one is mani and which one is madhi. The discharge of madhi does not make ghusl compulsory, obligatory, however wudu breaks. See, so when semen comes out, the thick one, where the person is now satisfied, then ghusl becomes compulsory. And where madhi comes out, where the excitement increases even further, which is the thin fluid, there the ghusl of a person does not become invalid. There the wudu of a person becomes invalid. He has to go and renew his wudu. But that impurity now came onto your clothes, for example. Person was looking at that book and that impurity came on the clothes. So that part of your clothes has to be washed. It's not that just go and make wudu and come back and perform salah. that area must be washed. Not the clothes doesn't have to be changed. You don't have to wash all the clothing. Just that particular area where the impurity has touched. That must be washed. Then you make your wudu and now come and perform your salah. We'll continue from here, inshallah. It's quite long. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we were discussing what Hazrat Mujaddidi Al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. So from the beginning, Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that how to adopt concentration. He said that one is in every posture, that just think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala once. In ruku, think of Allah ta'ala. When you stand up, sami Allahu liman hamida. In qawma, think of Allah ta'ala. In sajda, just think of Allah ta'ala once. And which Mullah Madni rahmatullahi alayhi simplified even further. And Mullah Madni rahmatullahi alayhi, what did he say? Mullah Madni rahmatullahi alayhi said that even one, a person thought of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in salah, that is a salah of khushu. So he made it very, very easy. But obviously, we shouldn't just accept, or we shouldn't opt for that which is the least. We must always go for the best. In everything of dunya, we want the best. So why is it that in matters of deen, we don't want the best? In matters of deen also, we must want the best. In one occasion, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he gave a bayan in Bombay. So in, he was explaining about the mustache. So there he mentioned, he said that the first class or first grade is where a person, he takes out the entire mustache, not with the blade. With the, for example, you get the shaver, the machine. So if a person uses the machine or a person uses the scissor, because the machine that you get, it has the same principle as the scissor. So a person removes the entire mustache, that is first class. And if a person leaves the mustache, but he just trims it slightly, just trims it, so that the hair doesn't come onto the lips, the hair doesn't come onto the lips, that is second class. So one youngster that was there, he said that I'm happy with second class. He said I'm happy, he wanted to keep a mustache, so he said I'm happy with second class, I don't need first class. So his father was also there in that bayan. So the father told the son, he says, you're a liar, you're speaking lies. He says, you're not happy with second class. He said, when you got married, then he said, your wife, you wanted first class. You didn't want second class wife. He says, your furniture that you bought for your house, there also you didn't want second class. Everything you wanted there, first class. The clothing that you wore when you got married, you didn't want second class. There you wanted first class. So you think you're happy with second class. So he says, it's not like that. In everything of dunya, we want first class. So in deen also, we must go for first class. Why go for second class? So the minimum is just once. But more than that, in every rukun, a person in every posture think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or a person that thinks about the meaning of what is being recited, this is also concentration in salah. So this is the third type, that where a person learns all the meaning and think of these meanings when a person is reciting, this is concentration in salah. And the fourth that was explained by Mujaddidi Al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi, where he said that think whilst you're in salah, the moment he said Allahu Akbar, to say the words of Takbir al-Tahrima, what we said, that is farz. So at that time his mind says, to say Allahu Akbar is farz. So he thought about that. But the lifting of the hand, this is sunnah. So his mind said, this is a sunnah of salah. So he thought about what was farz, what is sunnah, what is wajib, what is mustahab. So he says, this is also regarded as having complete khushu in salah. And Mujaddidi Al-Faisani rahmatullahi says, besides this, there is nothing else of salah. He said, it is just these four aspects. Farz, wajib, sunnah and mustahab. So further he says, namaz ka kamal, unhi umur ki kama haqqo adaigi hai. He says that the perfection of salah, that it is in discharging these matters, in fulfilling these farz, wajib, mustahab and sunnah, that the completion and the perfection of salah is only in these four things. Ki yahi namaz hai. He says, this is namaz. That these things are fulfilled, the farz of namaz is done, the wajibat of namaz are done, the sunnah and mustahabbat of namaz are done, so your namaz has been completed. Jo log iske alawa kisi aur cheez mahviyat wagaira se namaz ka kamal chahta hai, wo kamal namaz ko ghair namaz se talash karte hai. He says, those people that are looking for the perfection in namaz, in other things, like being totally absorbed in namaz, that from the beginning of till the end, I must be totally, totally absorbed in namaz. So they are looking for the perfection in namaz, not in the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat. They looking in other things, what we call mahviyat, total absorption. He says they are looking for kamal in namaz and the perfection of namaz in something that is other than namaz. This is not namaz. To have complete absorption from the beginning right till the end, he says this is not namaz. Namaz is these four things that we are mentioning. So he is looking for a perfection of namaz in something that is other than namaz. Magar in mazkura umur ka dil ki tawajjuh aur khayal ke saath ada ho jana, But he said that these things that we're talking about, the fara'is, the wajibat, the sunan and the mustahabbat, that a person has to fulfill them. He says, we're not saying that you just have to fulfill these things. We're not saying that. These things have to be fulfilled with concentration also. We are also saying with concentration. So fulfill these four things with concentration. But on the other side, don't go to that extreme where you ignore these four things. And what you are saying that I just want to be totally absorbed in namaz. Because that is not namaz. Namaz is in these four things with concentration. غافل قلب کے ساتھ اور قلب بھی خشوع کے بغیر ممکن نہیں. He says that with a heart that is negligent, this is not possible with a heart that is negligent and with a qalbi khushu and without a heart that has concentration and khushu in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning these four things that you contemplate of these four things in salah, this cannot be contemplated with a heart that is negligent and cannot be contemplated with a heart that is void of khushu and concentration and connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they have to be contemplated about that this is faraz, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is mustahab, but with a heart that is totally conscious now. Aur qalbi khushu, qalb ke zikr se mutaasir huye baghair mumkin nahi. And to have a heart that is filled with khushu, this is not possible without having a heart that has been affected with zikrullah. That if you want khushu in your heart, there's only one way, he's saying. That you have to make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. When you make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, now concentration will come into the heart. And when concentration comes into the heart, now you'll be able to contemplate over these four things, what is faraz, wajib, sunnat and mustahab, and you'll get a salah of khushu. Jaise ke piche bhi bayan kiya gaya, just as it has been explained in the past also, ke is tarah namaz parne mein puri kamyabi unhi ko hasil ho sakti hai, that a person can get complete perfection and complete success in reading this type of a namaz, a namaz of concentration. Who will get this type of success? Jiske dil ko zikr shughal ke se kuch nisbat yaaddaash hasil ho chuki. That person that has attained concentration through zikr and through spiritual exercises. A man that did the spiritual exercises, he stayed under the shaykh, he got his heart corrected, he made zikrullah. Very easy for this person to be successful and to get a salah of concentration and devotion. For this person, it will become very, very easy for him. Unko to namaz ki takmeel ke liye in umur ki adaiyi thori si koshish se hasil ho sakti hai. He said, for this person to get perfection in namaz through zikr and through the spiritual exercises, he said, in a short span, with just a little bit of effort, this man will get it. Why? Because most of his work has been done where? In zikrullah. So when most of the work has been done in zikrullah, now with just a little bit more effort, you will be able to get your concentration in salah very, very easily. Aur iske ghair ko, jiske dil mein zikr aur khushu nahi hai, iske liye namaz ki adaiyi dushwar hai. He says, for other people, those people that haven't done zikr, those people that haven't got khushu, for them namaz is very, very difficult. Namaz becomes very, very difficult for those people. So this part of the tasawwuf, where a person is making zikrullah, this will help him further in his salah. And without this path, then namaz will even become difficult upon a person. Jaise ke Quran Pak mein, just as it is mentioned in the Quran Pak, in the Quran Sharif, namaz khashirin ke alawa, dusro par dushwar hoti hai. That namaz is difficult upon others, those that don't have khushu in the heart, namaz is difficult upon them. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. That it is very difficult, except those people that have khushu in the heart, for them Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy for them. Dusri baat yeh bhi haqeeqat hai. He says, the second thing, this is also a reality, ke zahir ka asar batin par, aur batin ka asar zahir par parta hai. That the outside of a person, this has an effect on the inside of a person. And the inside of a person, this has an effect on the outside of a person. That is why one dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we have been taught, Allahumma ja'al sirri khayran min alaniyati. Wallah, make my inside better than my outside. Waj'al alaniyati saliha. And my outside make it righteous, make it pious. That my outside also is good, but make my inside even better than my outside. That it shouldn't be that a person outwardly, he shows himself that I'm a very, very pious person. But inside is opposite to that. So that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us that inside must be better than the outside. And the outside must be a pious outside. So the outside, that also has an effect on a person, on the inside. And the inside has an effect on the outside. In the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, those magicians that were called to combat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to Fir'aun and he told Fir'aun, Arsil ma'iya bani Israel, that send the bani Israel with me. Because they were not from Misr, they were from Sham. They were from the area around Palestine. That's where they came from. But because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came here, that is why Bani Israel now moved over when there was a drought. And now they came to Egypt. And whilst living in Egypt, this became the second biggest tribe in Egypt. So finally when Musa alayhi salam saw that what slavery they are subjected to, the pharaohs, the different pharaohs, what difficulty they put them through, so they said, come, these people, send them, let me take them and go back. So he said, I'm a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Fir'aun told him that if you're a Nabi of Allah, in kunta ji'ta bi ayatin fati biha in kunta min as-sadiqin, if you got some miracle, then show your miracle to us. If you are truthful that you're a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. So obviously we know Musa alayhi salam had two miracles. One is his asa. So fa'alqa asahu fa'idha hiya thu'banun mubin. He threw it on the ground, it became this big snake. And the other was, wanaza'a yadahu fa'idha hiya baydau lin nazirin. When he took out his hand from under his armpit, then it was shining. Such a shine that it mentioned the area between the heaven and the earth, the entire area lit up with the shine from the hand of Musa alayhi salam. So at that time Fir'aun, he ran away. With the fear that people are going to now start following Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that look at what a miracle he has brought from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then he went to his ministers and then he made mashwara. He said, what must we do with this man? Yuridu an yukhrijakum min ardikum. He wants to take you out from here. He wants to take over Egypt. So فَمَاذَا تَأْمُرُونَ, what you people have to say about it? So they said, أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَافْ, that detain him, keep him and his brother, Harun alayhi salam, keep them here. وَأَرْسِلْ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ, and in all the town, send people, let them go and gather all the magicians that were there. So it is mentioned, these people went out to gather all those magicians. And how many magicians they gathered? Mufassirin writes 15,000. 15,000 magicians. That was a time when Jadu was at its peak. That is why Allah Ta'ala gave such a mu'ajizah to Musa alayhi salam, 15,000. So nevertheless, we don't want to go into those details. Then they came. And these magicians, when they came, Allah Ta'ala says that now they told Musa alayhi salam, must we throw or you throw? Musa alayhi salam, he said, no, you throw. So they threw. So when they threw, فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْ سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ, they mesmerized the eyes of people. That in other words, what they threw, the robes that they had, which they were throwing, so it is mentioned those robes turn into serpents. But Allah Ta'ala says it was mesmerism. In the eyes you are seeing a snake. In reality there is no snake over there. That is magic. That sharp movement. They are so sharp that you looking at something and the reality is something else altogether. But then came the time when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam through. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ, what they fabricated, all that lies. 15,000 magicians throwing their ropes and becoming all these fake snakes. So all this fake, this one snake, it swallowed it all up. It swallowed it. When they saw this, so they realized, we are magicians. This is magic, false. What this man has brought, this is not magic. This is truth. فَوَقَعَ الْحَقِّ, the truth was now established. But when Allah Ta'ala opened up for them, and they saw that the truth, Allah Ta'ala said, وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, they fell in sajda. They fell in sajda. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, they said, we brought iman on Rabbul Alameen. So still there's a doubt in the heart of Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun said, he's Rabbul Alameen. So Allah Ta'ala clarified it, رَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى, وَأُلْقِيَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ, that we brought iman on the Rabb of Harun alayhi salam and the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam. That Allah we brought iman on, not on you. So at that time Fir'aun told them that I'll cut your hands and I'll cut your feet from the opposite side. لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ, from the opposite, right hand, left foot. ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I'll crucify you. So they said, إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ, we're going to turn to Allah. We're going to leave this world one day. Do what you want to do. But we'll never give up this iman. This was in a jiffy. Just in that little while, they brought iman. And that level of iman, that they were prepared to be killed. Why Allah Ta'ala blessed them with this iman? So here, Mufassirin writes, that when they came to combat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time, they resembled Musa alayhi salam. They wore the clothing of Musa alayhi salam. Outwardly, they wore the clothing. And that too to make a mockery of Musa alayhi salam. But Allah Ta'ala loved that appearance of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam so much that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed them with this type of an iman. So this is one reason that had been given. So the outward appearance of a person, this is also very important. A person who is wearing kurta, he won't go into the cinema. He won't go into the gambling den. Allah Ta'ala save us. Person that will want to go in there, he'll say, you know, I can't go with this clothes. This clothes, I can't go inside it. With the topi on my head, I must go inside here. I can't go. So the clothing also has an effect on a person. One poet, he says, regarding Nabi al-Islam, he says, Tere mahbub ki shabahat. Tere mahbub ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya ho. That I have just got the outward appearance, resemblance of Nabi al-Islam. I got my beard, I got my kurta, I got my topi. This is the outward appearance. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de, main surat leke aaya ho. Allah, make it reality. I am far from sunnah. I am far from the life of Nabi al-Islam. But Allah, you give me the reality. So even this outward appearance that a person comes with, this also has a great impact on a person. Many people say, no, don't look at my outside. You don't know what's in my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. This Maulana Abrar al-Haqtab rahmatullah explained very beautifully. He said that one man is your imam. He says for 15 years he's making imamat in your masjid. He's the imam of the masjid. He says one Jummah, the imam sahab came without clothes. No clothes on his body. What did everyone say? Imam sahab lost it today. He's gone. Mental hospital. So he says, but you don't know what's inside. But the sign that he came without clothing shows that he's a madman. That is why he left his clothes and he came. So he says that don't say that because my outside is showing something else and inside is something else. He says, Al-ina'u yatarashahu bima fi. That if you take a container, the container will only spill out what is inside. What is inside the container, that is the reflection what you'll get on the outside. So nevertheless, the outside of a person, this also has a great effect. So therefore the mashayikh have made so much effect, so much of effort, that your outward namaz must be correct. What we making an effort over here is on the outward namaz. Yesterday we did the takbir al-tahrima. That is the outward. What is the heart of a person, the khushu and the concentration with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we cannot correct. That is on an individual. Allah ta'ala will bless a person with that. Mona A.S. Desai Sahib of P.E. He says that when he was in Jalalabad, Mona Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi, when they were teaching them the practical salah, he says, Hazrat Ji came and put his four fingers. He put his four fingers. And he said, now bring your feet close and close. Bring your feet more close. Because it's not four fingers, it's more than a four finger gap. So he put his fingers there and he made him bring his feet to that extent where it was exactly four fingers. So see, they worked on the outward salah. So mashayikh, they won't only take us to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but our salah, our ibadat, everything will be corrected over here. That's why in one poem that has been recorded, they say that yat muddat ba sohbati awliya, that just one moment to spend in the company of these ahlullah, behtar asad sala ta'at bariya, it is better than 100 years of ibadat of ikhlas. And you know, ikhlas, ibadat, ikhlas, Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah says, only comes in the end of your life. Everyone thinks they got ikhlas. Everyone thinks. But he said, ikhlas will come only in the end of your life. And Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah said, ikhlas won't come until and unless you stay with some buzruk and you turn his shoes, you straighten his shoes. Then only ikhlas will come at the end of your life. So he says, 100 years ikhlas, ibadat, just staying a little bit. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said, when I thought of the statement, I said, this is the work of shu'ara, poets. Poets, sometimes they over-exaggerate. They like you, they'll take you above the sky also. And if they don't like you, they'll put you below the ground also. That's poets, shu'ara, that's what they do. So sometimes they exaggerate, they only work with exaggeration all the time, ifrat, tafreet, all the time. So he said, I thought that the poet has over-exaggerated. One moment in the company of some awliya, of some friend of Allah, better than 100 years ikhlas ibadat. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, such a great mufti. He went to Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. He told Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, in this poem, I think there's ifrat and tafreet. There's over-exaggeration over here. So Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi said, it's under-exaggerated. It's not over, it's under. He said, yat muddat ba sohbati awliya, behtar az laakh sala ta'ati bariya. More than 100,000 years, ikhlas ibadat, just to come and sit for a little while. Whether that wali of Allah Ta'ala, whether he speaks or he doesn't speak, silent majlis, whatever, just a little while, just come and sit there. The Sahaba, they saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just the one look of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the state of Iman, what the Sahabi became? He became the Sahabi. He became a companion. Until the day of Qiyamah, the greatest wali can come. He can't come close to that Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just that one nazar. He brought Iman, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if he went one jihad, he never had one namaz, he went in jihad and he passed away. No great wali can even come close to that Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the Sahaba, the greatest of mufti, or the greatest faqih, was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. But you hear anyone saying Mufti Abdullah bin Mas'ud? Nobody say Mufti Abdullah bin Mas'ud. The greatest Mufassir, Abdullah bin Abbas. You hear anyone saying Mufassir Abdullah bin Abbas? Yet he was a Mufassir of Quran. No. So that's in fiqh, that's in tafsir. In hadith, the greatest muhaddith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, 5,374 hadith he narrated. Does anyone say muhaddith Abu Huraira? Sheikh al-Hadith Abu Huraira? No. Everyone says sahaba. For Abu Huraira also sahaba. Abdullah bin Abbas also sahaba. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu also sahaba. All are ashab, the companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? The sohbat is so great that it was, so to say, even higher. That is why they all give given one title, that these are the ashab and the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this, when we come to the mashayikh and we will stay with them, then that outward appearance of our salah, that they will correct, and that's what they will rectify. And when the outward is now corrected, this will have an effect on our internal salah. Agar qalbi khushu aur zikr wala thori tawajjuh se zahiri mustahabbat ko ada karega, that if a person that got khushu of the heart, and a person that made a little bit of zikr, so he's got his concentration and he made his zikr. So in other words, that a person that had the internal concentration and he made his zikr, this person, he put his gaze a little bit on the zahiri mustahabbat, he turned his attention a little bit towards those mustahab actions that are the outward of salah, to iska asar batin ke khushu ko bhi barha dega. This will then increase the khushu of the internal of a person. This will have an effect on the internal khushu of a person. It will increase it. So he gives an example. Misal ke tor par, ba waqt qiyam sajda ki jaga par nazar rakhna. He said that at the time of qiyam, when we are standing in salah, so at that time to keep your gaze at the place of sajda, where your head is going to touch in sajda, that is the mustahab of salah. That is the mustahab, not the internal, that is the outside action of salah. Ruku ke waqt qadam par. And in ruku, a person keeps it on his feet. Or sajde ke waqt naak ke nok par nazar jamaye rakhne ko amal mein layega. Aur sajde ke waqt naak ke nok par nazar jamaye rakhne ko amal mein layega, to nazar ke intishar se mahfooz ho jayega. And if a person, when he's in sajda, then he keeps his gaze on the tip of his nose, then a person, his gaze will be protected. Meaning, if in namaz, you protect your gaze. When you're standing, it's in the place of sajda. When a person is in ruku, then it's on his feet. When a person is in sajda, then it is on the tip of his nose. Then the gaze of a person will be protected. He won't look around. Or namaz, huzoor-e-qalb ke saath muyassar ho jayegi. And namaz will become easy with the presence of the heart of the person. A person will become conscious, and now a person will perform salah. جب یہ اتنا برا فائدہ مستحبات کی ادائیگی میں ہے, when there's so much of benefit in just this mustahab act of salah, which is the outside, which is not the internal, this is just the external, there's so much of فائدہ. تو سنن و واجبات و فرائض کو دھیان سے ادا کرنے کی اہمیت ظاہر ہے. Then he says that the importance of fulfilling that which is sunnat in salah, to fulfill that which is wajib in namaz, that to fulfill that which is faraz in namaz, with importance and with attention. He says that is clear. If you're going to get so much of benefit just in a mustahab act, then how much more benefit you're going to get in fulfilling the faraz, the wajib, the mustahabbat, so much more benefit you're going to get over here. چنانچہ ان میں کوتاہی کرنے سے نماز کا کمال تو کیا. He says when a person is deficient in this, then leave the perfection of namaz. کبھی نماز بالکل ہی ادا نہیں ہوتی. When all these aspects are left out, leave gaining the perfection of your namaz. Sometimes the namaz of a person is not even fulfilled. The namaz is not even discharged. Or kabhi naqis reh jati hai. And sometimes the namaz of a person, it remains incomplete, deficient. Incomplete it remains. Or salat-e munafiq kehlati hai. And this is then termed as the salah of a hypocrite. Jiske mutalliq wa'id aayi hai ke wo ghaflat wali namaz namazi ke liye badua karti hai. For which there are warnings that have come, that salah that has been performed with ghaflat, a namaz that has been performed with ghaflat, this namaz makes badua for a namaz. A man that came to the masjid, he made wudu, he took out his time, he performed salah, but he didn't do it the correct way. So that namaz then makes badua of a person. And how does it make badua of a person? Aur purane kapro ki tarah lipat kar muh par maar di jati hai. And like old clothing, it is then wrapped up and it is then thrown upon a person. This is the result of a salah that was performed with total negligence and with total ghaflat. So how a person should be careful that salah, when we come, do it properly. So we get the full benefit and the full reward of salah. Like for example, as it gives an example that a person, when he goes out and he steals. So that person that goes out and steals, then what happens? That you must cut out his hands. You must cut out his hands. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given him this begging bowl. That way he can turn to Allah Ta'ala, pick up your hand, ask from Allah Ta'ala. And directly from the treasures of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, your need will be fulfilled. But a person, he does not turn to Allah Ta'ala. He can ask for all the good. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. The goodness of dunya also he can ask. Goodness of akhirat also he can ask. اللهم إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ وَالْمُعَافَاةَ الدَّائِمَةَ فِي الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He's asking for forgiveness, afiyat. In deen also afiyat. In dunya also afiyat. Akhirat also afiyat. All his needs can be fulfilled. But in spite of this, he goes and he steals. So now he's not worthy of this hand, of this begging bowl of his, cut off his hand. So namaz also, when Allah Ta'ala has given us such a valuable salah, where can a person reach just with that two rakats of his namaz? But now he's not even cared. He's not worried about fulfilling the mustahabbat, the wajibat, the sunan, the faraiz. Just haphazardly he's performing his salah, then Allah Ta'ala save us, then this is the consequence that the salah also is thrown back at a person. Or agar koi faraiz, sunan, wajibat ki to parwa na kare. If a person, on the other hand, he does not worry about the faraz, the sunan, the wajibat, or Allah Ta'ala ke huzoor hi mein mustagraq rahe. But this person is only absorbed, he's worried about absorption in salah. From the beginning of my salah till the end, I must only be absorbed in my salah. But no concern for faraz, no concern for wajibat, no concern for sunan and mustahabbat. All that is left one side, but he's worried about being absorbed in salah. Chahe is dauran koi waswasa bhi na aaye. So he's so absorbed, that even there's not one whispering of shaitan. Not even one thought comes and drifts his mind away. He is so absorbed in salah. But what is necessary, the faraz wajibat, that he is not even worried about. But he is worried about this type of a salah. So, wo namaz ke hukam ko pura karne wala nahi kehlayega. Then he won't be considered as a person that has completed his salah. That he is completing the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and performing his salah, he won't be regarded as one that is performing his salah. Balke, shayid aise namaz parne wala zyada gunegar hoga. In fact, such a person will become more sinful. Because we got to do what is the demand of shariat. What shariat wants from you? Shariat wants us to perform the salah. That is where the wajibat, the faraiz, the mustahabbat, the sunan, all this is taken. We take all this into consideration. That is what shariat wants from us. So we go with shariat, not according to what our mind tells us. Although the mind might be saying that logically I want to read a namaz that I'm totally absorbed. But that is not what the sunnah wants. That is not what shariat wants. For example, salah is such a great ibadat, like we are studying. But if a person says that, no, today I'm going to read namaz exactly at the time of zawal, so now he's going to get guna. Or a person says, at the time of sunset, I'm going to read namaz. Or at the time of sunrise. Why? Because that's not what shariat wants. Namaz is a great ibadat, but do it how shariat wants it. A person says, roza is such a great ibadat, that Allah Ta'ala says, the person that's keeping roza, I'll give his sawab, I'll give his reward. And some narrations, it's read the other way, وَأَنَا أُدْزَابِ, I'm the reward of a man that keeps roza. So this man says, no, I want to fast on the days of Eid also, because there's so much of reward. No, now it doesn't work. You do what shariat wants. We will move according to shariat. And then a person will be rewarded. But if a person moves according to his logic and what his mind says, then a person will go off the track. As it explains, he says that if a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he carries out a miracle, then that is a mu'jiza. Why? People will see that mu'jiza, they'll bring iman. So that is from Allah Ta'ala, a miracle. A pious person, he does it, that is a karamat also. So there's no problem. But a kafir, he is able to do a miracle. Will we say that he's of the same level? No, he's off the track. That is istidraj. He is on the completely wrong track. So do things in accordance to how shariat wants us to do it. So here also a person is reading a namaz where he is totally absorbed in his salah. But there is no faraz, there is no wajibat, he'll be sinful. Ke yaadash aur huzuri ke baawajood na farmani kar raha hai. That in spite of having concentration in salah, his heart is present in salah, but such a person is in a disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the end of this first sabak. Inshallah, tomorrow inshallah we will commence with the second sabak. Allah ta'ala give us all.